the CBS News. I don't know where my volume is, so maybe I'll just keep talking until the CBS News comes up. There we go.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. You ever had food poisoning?
Is it any wonder that one out of every four Americans suffer a foodborne illness every year?
Congressman Bart Stupak chairing congressional hearings into the FDA, which plans to cut back, closing half of its laboratories. Agency Chief Dr. Andrew Von Eschenbach.
I am here today very proud to lead an agency that is in fact recognized around the world as the gold standard for assuring the health of our food and our medical products.
Among what we learned today, of all the food entering this country, only 1% of it is actually inspected. So in the supermarkets,
you wish that the food is being checked, because by you buying in the store, you're hoping that it's safe to eat.
Al-Qaeda gaining strength, and according to the latest intelligence estimate, gearing up to mobilize against the U.S. President Bush.
Al-Qaeda would have been a heck of a lot stronger today had we not stayed on the offense.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. This new intel report warns of a heightened terror environment, even as officials emphasize there is no specific credible threat. The White House says there is no disconnect there. Officials see Al-Qaeda looking for an opening to attack on U.S. soil again, but they insist they don't have the concrete evidence of any plot that would lead them to increase the terror threat level.
You ever wonder what your senator looks like in pajamas? CBS's Bob Fuss on the all-nighter in Capitol Hill.
With cots brought in for sleepy senators, along with pillows and extra toothbrushes, the Senate debate on Iraq will go all night, says Senate Leader Harry Reid, because Republicans are using a filibuster to block a vote he wants on pulling out the troops.
Will the all-night session change any votes? I hope so, because it will focus attention on the obstructionism of the Republicans.
But it is an axiom of the modern Senate that it takes 60 votes to pass any controversial measure, and all-nighters or not, Reid does not have those votes. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Pro wrestler Chris Benoit had an inhuman amount of testosterone rushing through his body when he killed his wife and son and himself. CBS reporter Pete Combs in Atlanta.
The toxicology report says Chris Benoit died with 10 times the normal amount of testosterone in his system. But the state medical examiner says there were no anabolic steroids in his body. Can testosterone alone cause roid rage? That's a big question. One medical examiner, Chris Berry, says is still up for debate.
Diet and cancer. And CBS's Barry Bagnato with the latest.
In this study of more than 3,000 breast cancer survivors in the Journal of the American Medical Association, half ate the recommended diet of 5 fruits and vegetables a day. The other half ate 10 a day and had a lower intake of energy from fat. It made no difference. Both diets had about the same effect when it came to preventing a recurrence of breast cancer.
NFL quarterback Michael Vick and 3 others indicted, charged with violating federal laws against competitive dog fighting, procuring and training pit bulls for fights, and conducting the enterprise across state lines. Another record finish for the Dow today. It does end below 14,000, but with a gain of 20 at 13,971. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
New poll out suggests no one has emerged as the Republican presidential candidate to beat. Latest AP Ipsos poll finding that nearly a quarter of Republicans are unwilling to back any of the top-tier hopefuls. It has happened again. Authorities in Florida say an Amtrak passenger train derailing after colliding with a truck on the tracks east of Tampa.
This is a very horrible set of events in 24 hours. In both cases, a passenger train has struck a vehicle that was on the tracks, violating the right-of-way of the train.
Larry Coggins, trooper and spokesperson for the Florida Highway Patrol. No train passengers hurt, but the truck driver was killed today. Four in a car killed yesterday. The rules of the house in suburban Philadelphia, the person who loses the game has to turn over the video controller to someone else to play. When his older brother would not do so, a 13-year-old boy in Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, fatally stabbed him with a steak knife. 13-year-old now charged with first-degree murder in the death of his 16-year-old brother. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Looking to get more laps from a gallon of gas? Make a pit stop for expert service at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Get the Works Fuel Saver Package, a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, up to 5 quarts, tire rotation, and much more. Just $36.95 or less. Race in for savings to your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Hurry, Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Taxes and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. Offer ends 9907.
Welcome to the Cheapness Hall of Fame. On my left, you'll see a bronzed replica of Rachel Mahoney's legendary coupon collection.
Who's this?
That's a statue of our newest inductee, Jeff Baxter. He just saved $75 on a trip to Vegas at cheaptickets.com.
People, wait, you can book after the tour.
Book your trip to Vegas and save $75. Cheaptickets.com. The less you pay, the better it feels. Save $75 on qualifying 4 plus night vacations. Book by 7:30/07. Dollar for travel 7/9 through 9/15/07. Subject to availability. See site for terms and conditions.
Peter B. Collins!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I can't find that on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
You found the right station. This is the one that carries the Peter B. Collins Show, huh? Pretty happy about that.
The world is collapsing around our ears.
On our program today, we're going to talk about what's on the radio and why conservative talk hosts dominate by 9-1. It's actually an improvement. 3 years ago, it was 14-1. Also on today's program, Professor Marjorie Cohn has a new book out. We've been talking about it for a while. It's now published, called Cowboy Republic, 6 Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. She'll be with us for an hour today. Jason Leopold's going to check in. Reports of hazing of Jews in the military, some anti-Semitic behavior. We'll find out more about that. Melanie Sloan reports on David Vitter, the senator from Louisiana. He promotes abstinence, but he stained when he meant to abstain. And we're going to check in with Brad Friedman, who starting tomorrow will be sitting in for me as I head off on vacation. And that's all ahead here. You can call with a question or comment whenever the urge strikes you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Joining us now is a Democratic congressman from upstate New York, Maurice Hinchey. Congressman, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Well, Peter, it's a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I had the pleasure of hearing you speak, it's almost 2 years ago now, at the Media Reform Conference in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. That was quite an event. It was very nice to be there.
Well, and what was comforting to me was to see a member of Congress like yourself who has a great grasp of these issues and the role that the media plays in our dysfunctional government.
Yes. Yeah, the media has helped this government to be as dysfunctional as it is. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
This government has exploited the neoconservative media for its own purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation in Iraq is probably one of the best examples of how that exploitation has resulted in such disastrous consequences.
Yeah, and we just get more coverage of Paris Hilton and, Britney Spears and all that kind of trash when there are so many important issues that Americans need to know about, and we're certainly underserved by our media. Well, Congressman, I asked you on the program today because about two weeks ago, a stunning report came out, co-authored by Free Press, the group that sponsored the media conference where I heard you speak, and the Center for American Progress. And it confirmed what I know out here in the trenches of talk radio, and that is that conservatives have incredible dominance over this medium. And it has been that way for some time. Despite the arrival of Air America and independent programs like mine, we're still inching along and really only reach a fraction of the national audience. And the report in stark terms showed that key markets like Philadelphia, Atlanta, Houston, and Dallas have zero non-conservative voices on the radio. The entire state of Ohio has 3 hours a day of non-conservative programming, and that's Al Sharpton on a little daytime station in Akron. And, you know, this is not something that just needs a little tweaking. We need a sea change in terms of media diversity and diversity of opinions heard, particularly on talk radio.
Well, what you said is very interesting, and the problems that it's creating are precisely the way you describe them, and I think that if anything, it goes even deeper than that. I don't think that these are conservatives, however. I think that the term neoconservative is much more accurate in describing them, because conservative means that you want to protect things. You want to conserve basic ideas and principles. What they want to do is disrupt basic ideas and principles, and they've been very successful in doing that. The Federal Communications Commission's rules and regulations, which were set up beginning back in the 1930s and then improved after the Second World War based upon the experience of the development of fascism in Europe, those Federal Communications Commission rules and regulations were designed to ensure that we had an open and fair and diverse media, because that is the way in which people obtain most of their information. And if you allow a small group of people, such as we have now, six major corporations controlling more than 85% of the media across the country, if you allow a small group of individuals to control the information that people receive, and even in a democratic republic like ours, you allow them to begin to control the ideas that people have and the actions that they take based upon both that information and ideas. And that's what we're seeing in this dominance of the media, particularly talk radio, but other aspects of it, of the media as well, by these neoconservative operations who are determined to upset this democratic republic and to turn it into something that is very different and undemocratic.
Mm-hmm. Well, Congressman Hinchy, let me talk about two separate aspects here, because I think that we have two problems. One is a lack of balance, and the other is hate speech that passes for political commentary on a daily basis. And let me start with the hate speech. Michael Savage originates from here in San Francisco, like I do, and he's a tremendous embarrassment to me and many of my friends and colleagues. And what he does on a daily basis crosses the line from any kind of, polemics or what I would consider to be rightful political speech into a kind of hate speech. And just most recently, he has been, counterattacked by a group of students at San Jose State University whom he wished to die. They were on a hunger strike to point up some of the inequities in our immigration laws and their desire to become citizens by joining the United States military. And he not only dismissed them, but he attacked them in ways that were, number one, not based on fact, and number two, in my view, crossed the line into hate speech. What can we do to try to restrain that without in any way impinging on the First Amendment?
Well, I think your point is very good. I didn't know that story that you just outlined, but I'm not surprised to hear that Michael Savage was involved in that in the way that that you described. The First Amendment is very critical, because the First Amendment says that every citizen of this country has free speech, the right to express themselves, to give out their ideas, and the right for all of us to take in ideas, various kinds of ideas, various forms of information, and come to our own conclusions on it. That was the basic reason why in the 1940s, after the experience with the Second World War, that the so-called fairness doctrine was put into the Federal Communications Commission rules and regulations. That stipulated that, basically, that the airwaves, the broadcast spectrum, is not owned by any person, any corporation or group of people. The broadcast spectrum is owned by everyone. It's owned by the general public. And if anyone has the license to broadcast over a portion of that spectrum, which licensing arrangements are open to just about anyone who wants them, that's the way it should be anyway and the way it used to be, but it's not that way so much anymore.
Right.
But if anybody does have the license to broadcast over a part of that spectrum and they have a political point of view, they have the right to express that political point of view. But they also have the obligation and responsibility to allow an alternative point of view to be expressed over that same part of the broadcast spectrum and on that same particular program in order to make sure that we are not dominated by any particular form of propaganda, but that we authorize and allow and encourage all forms of open ideas and open speech in accordance with that First Amendment of the Constitution. Now, that has changed. That has changed because the Reagan administration very purposefully eliminated that fairness clause in the Federal Communications Commission rules and regulations.
That's right.
They did so purposefully and intentionally in order to turn the openness and fairness of the broadcast spectrum into a form of presenting kind of propaganda, the kind of vicious language and speech and antagonizing of points of view that you mentioned that comes out of people like Savage and others. That's the problem that we're facing now because of that political change. When the Federal Communications Commission eliminated that fairness clause from their rules and regulations, the Congress said, wait a minute, back in 1987, you shouldn't do that. And the Congress then passed a law, bill passed through both the House of Representatives and the Senate, that put that fairness clause back into the rules and regulations of the Federal Communications Commission. And then Ronald Reagan vetoed that bill. And when he vetoed that bill, it became very clear that this action taken by the FCC initially was not just something that was being done arbitrarily or serendipitous by them or in mistake in some way. It was quite clear that it had a political objective, and that political objective then was sustained and supported by the president in his veto of the language which put back the fairness language into the FCC rules and regulations.
And President Reagan himself knew about that because prior to running for office, he had hosted a paid commentary that was broadcast on hundreds of radio stations around the country, and they were required to put a liberal on after him. And so he had that kind of first-person experience.
Yeah.
But coming back to Savage, again, I'm a firm believer in the First Amendment, and I think that he has the right to say things. I believe that broadcasters are the ones who have to be held responsible and accountable for the programs that they air, because that's where we cross the line into projecting hate speech in a way that can be clearly damaging and hurtful to various individuals.
You're absolutely right. It's the broadcasters who are licensed to broadcast. And the way in which the Federal Communications Commission has been corrupted since 1987 has allowed the broadcasters to eliminate their sense of responsibility to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer have to come back as often as they did in the past to obtain relicensure, and in the obtaining of that relicensure, they no longer have to demonstrate that they are operating in ways and using their part of the broadcast spectrum in ways that support the First Amendment,
mm-hmm.
back up the basic principles of the Constitution, and ensure the maintenance of this democratic republic.
Well, Congressman, we need to take a break here. When we return, I want to explore some ideas about a new type of fairness doctrine and see what you think as we try to move forward here and rebalance the media, particularly talk radio in this country. My guest, Congressman Maurice Hinchey, Democrat of upstate New York. And if you have a question or comment, call us now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Everyone wants to know a great hairstylist, and I want to share mine with you. Dallas and Ashley at Malibu by the Sea, 2024 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey. Malibu by the Sea is a full-service salon and bronzing spa. You can slip in for a tan and then have them create a stunning look for you. They perform cuts, color, multidimensional highlights, and the highest quality of human hair extensions. Dallas and Ashley, simply the best, making you look your best. Call them at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. SoberStones.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. My guest, Democratic Congressman Maurice Hinchey of upstate New York. This is a song called Talk Talk by Talk Talk, and we're talking about talk radio and the conservative or right-wing dominance of this medium. And, Congressman, we've heard on a number of fronts recent discussions about reinstating the fairness doctrine that you described, and Senator Dick Durbin has talked about it. There's been a preemptive strike in the Congress to prevent a fairness doctrine from being reimposed, and just today the White House threatened a veto of any such legislation. And I would like to suggest, along the lines of something you were alluding to a moment ago, that we try to reinvigorate the license renewal process and require broadcasters to show that they have presented diverse opinions on their broadcast facilities, and that this would be a way of achieving the result without the target that the Fairness Doctrine appears to present from the right.
Well, you're absolutely right, Peter. I think that that must be done. This is something that's been going on for quite some time now. There was a time of more than 60 years ago when one of the major broadcast networks tried to take over other networks and dominate the whole system. That was contested, and it worked its way through the court. It eventually got up to the Supreme Court. And in that Supreme Court decision, which said that it was essential for the future of our country to maintain this democratic republic, that we maintain an open, free, and fair, and diverse communication system, which was dominated by radio, of course, at that time. And here's one of the things that they said, and I quote, "The widest possible dissemination of information from diverse and antagonistic sources is essential to the welfare of the public. A free press is essential to the conditions of a free society." And yet today, as you were suggesting, we have basically about six companies that own the broadcast networks, 90% of the top 50 cable networks. They produce three-quarters of all primetime programming, and they control 70% of the primetime television market share. You have a situation where one-third of America's independently owned television stations have vanished. So this situation has gotten worse and worse, and we are introducing legislation, and the legislation that I've introduced is sponsored in the Senate by Senator Durbin, which would open up this system again, mm-hmm. and it would restore a standard to prevent, for example, any one company from owning broadcast stations that reach more than 35% of U.S. television households.
Well, and it's very interesting, Congressman, because Fox is the television network that would like to blow the current caps out of the water. Mm-hmm. But in the radio business, Clear Channel sent a message to the market this year that bigger is not better. They bulked up to 1,200 stations, and they sold off almost 500 of them as they were trimming down to go private. And that, to me, sends a very powerful signal that even the street knows that big media is not good.
Oh, I think that's right. The street does know that big media is not good, but the street knows it better in some places than it does in others. And you were mentioning a number of places. So you said Philadelphia, all of Ohio, how it's dominated by the media, and how they have been able to dominate a lot of the political structure in those regions. And that's what we've seen happen on the coasts, on the East Coast and the West Coast, and places like San Francisco and New York and other places, for the most part, you have pretty much an open system, and you have people who get it out on the street. But there are other parts of the country where the getting is not quite as fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, Congressman, I wish you well with your bill. I've got just a minute remaining, and I wanted to mention two things. One is, do you support the Rush Holt H.R. 811 election reform bill in its current form?
I have some very serious questions about it, and I think that the way it has been compromised is making it ineffective and, in fact, might make it not good.
I'm pleased to hear that. We oppose it in its current form, and I would love to see it go through with a little work and more consumer protections, more protections for the average citizen.
And we're working on it with Rush now.
Very good, sir. I appreciate that. And finally, what is your posture on impeachment of Vice President Cheney?
I think that this administration, both the president and the vice president, are the most impeachable in the history of our country. They have engaged in activities that make them not only impeachable, but they've engaged in activities that have violated, in a criminal way, very important federal laws.
And so Congressman,
there's no question that they've behaved very, very badly.
And just in a few seconds, how do we persuade my friend Nancy Pelosi to put it back on the table?
Well, she is persuaded that way. It's not her. It's what she has to deal with here in the Congress. She just doesn't have the votes to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's not only true in the House of Representatives, but it's particularly true in the Senate, where you only have a majority of one single vote.
Maurice Hinchey, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation. And you're still not listening. If the president won't listen, Congress must.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
The show on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. In times of turmoil, many people remain silent. Not so our next guest, Marjorie Cohn. Like many of us, she's willing to stand up and yell fire.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrives.
They challenge you to never worry about the torture.
Yeah, don't worry about the torture. It's not Americans.
Spend it all today and we will bill you.
These are really bad people.
And bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never spend it to this time. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a pop and pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you? Fire.
Michael Franti and Spearhead. That's the title song for their from their most recent politically infused World Beat CD. And joining us now for the next hour is Professor Marjorie Cohn. She teaches constitutional law at the Thomas Jefferson Law School in San Diego. She is currently the president of the National Lawyers Guild, and she is the proud author of a brand new book that just came out called Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. Marjorie, welcome to the show today.
My pleasure, Peter B.
Well, it's always great to talk with you, and I always learn at least something, if not a lot.
Well, likewise.
Well, how long have you been working on the book, and how hard was it to cut it off at six?
Well, I thought that I should really make it manageable for people. I mean, I could have gone on and on, but I thought I would just pick the six most egregious violations of the law by what I call the Bush gang, because they do act like a gang.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say maybe 4 or 5 months to write it, although it certainly covers things that I've been researching and writing about for a long time.
Yeah.
It wasn't just starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talk to you often and have short time spans because you're busy teaching class and taking care of all the things you do, and we have the luxury here of a full hour. And I've never really gotten the bio of Marjorie Cohn. I picked up in the book that you attended Stanford, and that's where your radicalization began during the Vietnam War. Just no personal information, but tell us a little more about how you got to be a law professor.
How I get to be a law professor? Well, I was in high school. I should go back to high school. I was a cheerleader. I was a homecoming princess. I thought my government was beyond reproach. And when I got to Stanford, it was right in the middle of the anti-war movement, and in 1969, it was before that, it was probably 67 or 68, that I watched a film, a black and white film, and there was a young girl, maybe 12 years old, naked, running from an American warplane who had just dropped napalm on her, and she was burning up. And I just had a visceral reaction to that picture. It was not anything that I came to intellectually, but I realized that that war had to stop, and I had to do whatever I could to stop it. So I joined the anti-war movement. At Stanford, we had a 1969. We had a 9-day sit-in in the Applied Electronics Laboratory, and of course, in those days it was doing chemical and biological warfare research on Stanford's campus, doing counterinsurgency research for the war in Indochina. And then that really set me on the path that I'm on today, which is to do whatever I can to fight for justice and peace. And I decided to go to law school because I thought that I could use whatever skills I have as a criminal defense attorney and as a human rights attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And I practiced law for many, many years, criminal defense, appeals and trials both.
Any cases you want to mention just in passing?
Well, I didn't do any famous cases, but I did a lot of cases, ordinary cases, cases of ordinary people, and I call that human rights work because
mm-hmm.
the Constitution gives everyone who is charged with a crime the right to a lawyer and the right to a fair trial and the right to an effective lawyer. And I have, since becoming a law professor, and I kind of fell into it, I was still practicing law, had just had a baby, and was asked to teach a summer class at the law school where I teach now, Thomas Jefferson,
mm-hmm.
and I said okay, and as soon as I set foot in the classroom, I knew that I was a fish in water, and I just loved it, and then the writing kind of came at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also testified as an expert witness since becoming a law professor in one notable case, and I'm scheduled to testify in another, and that was the court martial of a sailor. In San Diego, who refused orders to go to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He He said that the war was illegal and that there were war crimes being committed, torture, etc., and that if he were to deploy on that ship and take Marines to the Persian Gulf, he would be complicit in war crimes.
Is that Pablo Paredes?
That's Pablo, yes. Uh-huh. Pablo right. Paredes. And mm-hmm. I testified, I explained why the war was illegal and why, and that torture was taking place, and also explained the Uniform Code of Military Justice and the Army Field Manual, which create a duty to obey lawful orders, and but also a duty to disobey unlawful orders. And I concluded that because the war was illegal and war crimes were being committed, that an order to deploy to an illegal war was, in fact, an illegal order,
mm-hmm.
and that Pablo had a duty to disobey it. He ended up with no time in custody. I don't know if my testimony contributed to that, but it was I really thought that it was important. And I'm also scheduled to be a witness at the court-martial of First Lieutenant Aaron Watada, who's the first commissioned officer to refuse orders
right.
to go to Iraq. And his court-martial has just been set off until October.
We've talked with him a couple of times, and he's so impressive in his own quiet, firm way. And I really acknowledge him as a hero who is, I think, you know, setting an example that causes many other military members to examine their service. And just over the weekend, I saw an article in the paper about this is a couple, both in the service, and he's already in Iraq. She is supposed to deploy in the next few weeks, and he is sending her these urgent emails saying, you know, this is a mess. This is not what we signed up for. This is not the kind of mission that we swore to protect our country around. And so I think that many people are reexamining their commitment to the military in light of this misguided mission that many of them have been sent on extended tours.
I think you're right, and although there is no draft, at least a formal draft, the way there was during the Vietnam War, although I talk about the poverty draft, where people who don't have a lot of options, educational options, job options, are lied to by military recruiters to enlist, and so there is a kind of a poverty draft there. But there was a very, very strong GI movement. There was very strong resistance within the military to the Vietnam War, and that was really the centerpiece of the anti-war movement, and that went a long way toward ending that war. We don't have such, and there were underground coffee houses and underground newspapers, and even enlisted men were killing their officers at the about one a week, which was really outrageous, just to show you how much dissent and dissatisfaction there was. There is military resistance now. There is a very high number of desertions, of people going AWOL. The National Lawyers Guild, my organization, we have a military law task force, and they talk to thousands of GIs every month. Who want to know what their rights are and who want to get out of the military. And they deal with conscientious objectors and resistors. People go to Canada. That's a different issue. There is quite a lot of resistance in the military, although we don't always hear about it. We hear more about individuals like Pablo and like Aaron who step up and refuse to go.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Marjorie Cohn here on the Peter B. Collins Show, professor of law in San Diego and the author of this new book, Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. One more item before we get to the book, and that is that I believe it was about a year and a half ago, you prepared a brief and presented it at the Riverside Church in New York, and this was a citizens' commission that sat to indict Bush administration officials, I think, for war crimes. Am I right?
That's correct, yes. My part in that was to present the testimony of Colonel, former Brigadier General Janice Karpinski, who had responsibility for Abu Ghraib prison and 16 other prisons in Iraq. And she was a witness for the prosecution in this war crimes trial in New York, and I presented her testimony. I had interviewed her extensively a few months before.
Mm-hmm. And has that gone anywhere? We've seen attempts to indict Rumsfeld and others in Germany, and to my knowledge, they haven't gained traction.
Well, there is a, first of all, the International Criminal Court is not a strong option because Bush, in an unprecedented move, took the United States' signature off of that treaty. He didn't want to become a defendant in war crimes prosecutions, basically. And so although there are some ways that the court could get jurisdiction over U.S. nationals, not only has Bush unsigned the International Criminal Court Treaty, but he has blackmailed at least 100 countries generally developing democracies, not strong economies, into agreeing to provide immunity, in other words, not to turn over any Americans to The Hague for trial in the International Criminal Court. And although he talks about politicized justice, the International Criminal Court, which is a project of some 50 years with many, many countries participating, including the United States, following basic due process protections with independent judges from many different countries, it works on a principle of complementarity, which means that the International Criminal Court is not going to take a case if the system of the country, such as the United States, if it were an American involved, is unwilling or unable to prosecute. It's mm-hmm. complementary to the national system, the International Criminal Court. So there is also a principle called universal jurisdiction, which is a very well-established principle. We have a universal jurisdiction law in this country. Many countries do. In fact, universal jurisdiction was used by Israel to try, convict, and execute Adolf Eichmann for his crimes during the Holocaust, even though they had no direct correlation to Israel. And that's because under principles of universal jurisdiction, some crimes are considered to be so heinous that they're crimes against all of humanity, and therefore any country can prosecute and punish them. So in 2004, the Center for Constitutional Rights went to the German federal prosecutor and said, please indict Donald Rumsfeld and many other Bush officials for war crimes, for the torture. The German prosecutor said, well, I don't have any indication that the United States will not prosecute them, so I am going to decline to bring a prosecution. Well, last November, the Center for Constitutional Rights, together with the National Lawyers Guild and other groups, on behalf of 11 Iraqis who were tortured, brought a new complaint to the German federal prosecutor saying, well, we certainly have an indication now that the United States is not going to prosecute people for war crimes because Bush rammed the Military Commissions Act through Congress, a shell-shocked Congress. Congress is still in shock since 9/11 and since Bush reminds them all the time that is the key issue, regardless of whether he's in Iraq or wants to invade Iran. And they gave him the Patriot Act, they gave him the Iraq War, they gave him the Military Commissions Act. And one of the things that the Military Commissions Act does, in addition to other pretty heinous things, is to grant amnesty, that terrible word, that evil word that the Republicans hate, amnesty to Bush and Cheney and Condoleezza Rice and Rumsfeld and John Yoo and David Addington for possible prosecution under the U.S. War Crimes Act.
Does it name them, or is it just a broad amnesty?
It's a broad amnesty.
Uh-huh.
It's a broad amnesty, but that's what he's talking about.
Right.
So then we said to the federal prosecutor in Germany, well, look, now here's your indication that there aren't going to be any prosecutions in this country for war crimes. And he thought about it for a while and invariably received some pressure from the United States, and he said, well, no, there's no direct relationship with Germany.
Yeah, they threatened
totally misunderstanding what universal jurisdiction is all about.
They threatened that Bush would come and give him a neck rub.
Yes, that's quite a threat, a massage.
We'll take a break and return with Marjorie Cohn. The new book is out, Cowboy Republic, 6 Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. If you have a question or comment, she's with us until the bottom of the next hour, so call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping.
Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
Why would we hand the beating heart of democracy, the vote, over to a private corporation?
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And we're giving it to a corporation called Diebold, whose former president, Wally O'Dell, says, you know, I'm going to give Ohio to George W. Bush. We're giving it to a corporation like ES&S, who used to be run by Chuck Hagel, the Republican senator from Nebraska. I mean, it's our vote.
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Yeah, the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Marjorie Cohn, our guest, her new book is out, Cowboy Republic, 6 Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. She's president of the National Lawyers Guild and teaches constitutional law in San Diego at the Thomas Jefferson School. And Marjorie, I told you that I always learned something from you, and it started off on page 4, the introduction of your book. And you're talking about me here. You describe, many Americans don't understand that much of international law is actually U.S. law. Indeed, the Supremacy Clause of our Constitution says the treaty shall be the supreme law of the land. When the U.S. became party to the U.N. Charter, it agreed to respect the principle of sovereign equality of all nations. The Charter requires U.N. members to refrain from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any other country. The U.N. Charter calls those wars a war crime. I skipped a line here. One country can invade another only in self-defense or with the Security Council's blessing. Unilateral preemptive wars are wars of aggression. The UN Charter calls those wars a crime against peace, and at Nuremberg, following World War II, they called them the supreme international crime. This is very interesting because Bush has unilaterally withdrawn from a number of treaties, and we've set a bad example. Russia has now threatened to pull out of the Treaty on Conventional Forces in Europe. And so many of these regimes are falling apart, and Bush seems oblivious to what you just described as the Supremacy Clause in our Constitution.
You know, Bush and even some people on the Supreme Court, such as Scalia and Thomas, notably, and probably Roberts and Alito as well, poo-poo treaties and international law and foreign law, and they get them all confused, and they seem to forget that under the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, treaties are U.S. law. They are not international law. They're not out there in the stratosphere. They're actually part of our domestic law. Treaties shall be the supreme law of the land. It says so right in the Constitution. And that means once the United States ratifies a treaty, it's part of U.S. law.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many people don't understand that.
Then with the Military Commissions Act, at least the part which permits the president to accept certain detainees from the protections of the Geneva Conventions, is that in conflict with the Supremacy Clause?
Well, yes, because the original, let's go back a little bit to the so-called torture memo starting in early 2002 when Alberto Gonzalez and David Addington and John Yoo were writing memos to Bush telling him that the Geneva Conventions, remember the those famous words by Alberto Gonzalez that the Geneva Conventions were quaint and obsolete?
Quaint
and obsolete. The Geneva Conventions, of course, are also treaties that the United States has ratified and therefore part of the supreme law of the land. But there are four Geneva Conventions. One is shipwrecked sailors and wounded and sick sailors and soldiers. And then the third Geneva Convention is the Convention on Prisoners of War, and the fourth is on protection of civilians in times of war. Well, the third Geneva Convention on Prisoners of War sets forth specific requirements to find that somebody's a prisoner of war. They have to wear a uniform and an insignia and have a hierarchy of command, etc. So these legal eagles of Bush's said, well, since these people are not prisoners of war, Al-Qaeda, the suspected Al-Qaeda and Taliban people, they are not protected by the Geneva Conventions. And what the Geneva Conventions do is to protect, to guarantee humane treatment. That means no torture, no cruel inhuman treatment, no degrading treatment. And so by saying that these alleged Al-Qaeda and Taliban prisoners were not covered by the Geneva Conventions, and they were talking about the third Geneva Convention, they could torture them. They could treat them inhumanely. They could subject them to waterboarding and sexual humiliation and attacks by dogs and force feeding with tubes down into their stomachs. But the Supreme Court said, oh, no. In Hamdan versus Rumsfeld, last year the Supreme Court said, sorry, Bush, but the Geneva Conventions apply to everyone, not just prisoners of war. And there is an article that's common to all four Geneva Conventions. It's Article 3, and that's why it's called Common Article 3. And that says, regardless of whether someone's a prisoner of war or not, anyone who's in custody by a foreign power is entitled to humane treatment, cannot be subjected to humiliating and degrading treatment, cannot be subjected to torture, etc. And if they are, those things constitute war crimes under our U.S. War Crimes Act.
Mm-hmm. And so do we have any recourse here? How do we fix this? How do we get the United States back in compliance with the world community and the treaties that, in one way or another, the Bush administration has tried to abrogate?
Well, I think that the first thing we have to do is follow the warning of the founding fathers, they said, and I'll tell you, I'm reading it specifically from my book. They said, this is the Declaration of Independence, when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And what that means is that when the government is breaking the law and is not doing what we elected it to do, it's time to get a new one. And I think the first place to start is in the House of Representatives with a procedure that was put into the Constitution very deliberately, and that's the impeachment procedure.
But we'll pick up there after the break. Professor Marjorie Cohn with us. The new book is out, Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. We'll take your calls in the next segment, too. She's with us for another 30 minutes. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, The Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
High drama in the debate on Iraq.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Not quite a slumber party, but they've brought in cots and pillows as the Senate prepares for an all-night session.
A new assessment of Al-Qaeda.
Just as we've devoted a lot of energy to increasing our defenses, they haven't been standing still.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. First, the latest on a story that's still developing. A Brazilian airliner carrying at least 150 people has crashed in flames at the airport in Sao Paulo. Reporter Paula Gobi.
We could see the flames in the plane and fire squadrons trying to put down the flames. But since it hit a filling station, it exploded, and you can imagine that the damage is very large.
There's no word on casualties. Brazilian television says the plane failed to brake after landing. Senate Democratic leaders are making Republicans pay for their opposition to an Iraq pullout deadline. It's going to cost them a night's sleep.
To draw attention to the filibuster Republicans are using to block a vote on pulling troops out of Iraq, Democratic leader Harry Reid is making senators stay all night.
If Republicans insist on blocking change of course in Iraq, we have no alternative but to keep them in session, to have them explain their obstruction.
They brought in cots and pillows and snacks, but while it's good theater, it probably won't change votes of Republicans like John McCain who support the president.
We do not fight only for the interest of Iraqis. We fight for ours as well.
There does now appear to be a slim majority in the Senate for a withdrawal deadline, but it takes 60 votes to break the filibuster. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Now this.
I can't think of many things that last a lifetime. True love? Maybe. A special memory? Perhaps. A house paint? Absolutely. If it's Duration Exterior from Sherwin-Williams. Not as romantic as true love, maybe, but way more practical. Because Duration Exterior protects in one coat and is guaranteed for as long as you own your home. Buy it now at your Sherwin-Williams store and save $8 a gallon. Duration. A paint that lasts a lifetime? Now that's true love.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
A new national intelligence estimate says Al-Qaeda and other extremist groups pose a persistent and evolving threat to the United States. But Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, in a CBS Evening News interview with correspondent Katie Couric, disputes the notion that the war in Iraq has made Al-Qaeda stronger than it's ever been.
They have regenerated, and they may be stronger now than they were, let's say, in 2002, when we originally rocked them with our assault in Afghanistan. But I haven't heard anybody in the community assess that they are where they were prior to the attacks on September 11.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has details of the new report.
Analysts caution eliminating bin Laden and his deputy Ayman al-Zawahiri would not eliminate al-Qaeda. The terror group is broadening its reach and seeking to leverage the attacks carried out by al-Qaeda in Iraq, promoting the violence against U.S. forces to generate resources and recruits and indoctrinate operatives, including for homeland attacks. Security officials say there's no evidence al-Qaeda has acquired weapons of mass destruction or injected sleeper cells into the U.S., but both goals remain top priorities for an enemy that's lived to fight another day. Bob Orr, CBS News, Washington.
How safe is our food? Caroline Smith DeWall of the Center for Science in the Public Interest told Congress today that the Food and Drug Administration is not doing a good job screening foreign food.
The failure of FDA's import program has been demonstrated with the recent outbreaks related to imported food items.
Congressional investigators say food importers have found ways to avoid close scrutiny by FDA inspectors. The FDA defends its plan to close half its laboratories, saying it will streamline operations and bring them into the 21st century. Pro wrestler Chris Benoit had 10 times the normal level of testosterone in his system when he committed suicide after killing his wife and son. Dr. Chris Sperry is Georgia's top medical examiner.
Although testosterone was found in Christopher Benoit's urine, there was no evidence of any other of the illegal types of steroids or the whole laundry list of anabolic steroids that are out there to be used.
Sperry says there's no clear evidence that Benoit's actions were a case of roid rage. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue with writer Marjorie Cohn, the new book, Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. Let's impeach them. You heard Congressman Maurice Hinchey of New York State, a Democrat, last hour when I had just asked him about impeachment. He said, these people have committed more impeachable offenses than anybody he's seen in his lifetime. As I mentioned, Professor Marjorie Cohn teaches constitutional law at the Thomas Jefferson School in San Diego. She's president of the National Lawyers Guild and the proud author of this new book, Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. It's out in softcover from Polly Point Press. It'll set you back less than $15, and it's a good read. Not a lot of legal jargon in there. It's very easy even for a guy like me to understand. And Marjorie, do you have a book tour that you want to mention? Any stops?
Well, I will be in San Francisco this weekend in Oakland. I should put it up on my website, marjoriecohn.com. Then I'll be in New York beginning of August and then Washington in October and Connecticut in September. And I think what I should probably do is list it on my website, marjoriecohn.com.
Okay, that's great. And I want to tick off, because we're not going to get to talk about every subject here, what you consider to be the six most egregious areas of offense. That is the illegal war in Iraq, the torture of prisoners, summary execution and willful killing. I'll touch on that in a couple of minutes. The Guantanamo Gulag, spying on Americans, and refusing to execute the law. And those are very clear areas. Now, I referenced Congressman Hinchey. He was unflinching in his commentary, and I said, well, why has Speaker Pelosi taken this off the table? I think that's a bad move. And his position is that she's not personally opposed to it. She simply doesn't have the votes.
And I think there's a little bit of spin there, and while I appreciate Hinchey's position, and he's unabashed about it, I still am puzzled as to why the Democrats and Senate Leader Harry Reid over the weekend reiterated that he thinks impeachment would be a waste of time. I don't think that's even part of the calculation. To me, it's a responsibility to future generations to draw a line that says we will not tolerate this kind of runaway radical behavior on the part of an administration.
I agree, and as I say in the book, I mean, there's certainly the whole book is a very strong case for impeachment, but not just impeachment, also criminal prosecutions. I mean, these people have committed major crimes that need to be punished. They need to be held accountable, and I talk about that. But beyond these general areas, more recently, the White House is resisting congressional subpoenas that call for testimonial and documentary evidence about the U.S. attorney firing scandal. And the deadline for them to produce documents in response to subpoenas about the warrantless spying is July 18th. And they're saying, well, you know, we don't have to turn that over because, you know, we're asserting executive privilege. They're not even turning over records on Pat Tillman's death. That's executive privilege as well. Everything is executive privilege if Bush wants to keep it secret. But keep in mind that in 1974, when the House Judiciary Committee passed three articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon, Article 3 charged refusal to comply with subpoenas during the Watergate hearings.
Mm-hmm.
That's what might ultimately lead them to impeachment, if they stand up a majority, of course, of the House of Representatives and show some backbone, which so far they really have not done.
Well, I agree with you there. Laird is on the line from Eureka. Join us, Laird. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Cohn. And by the way, Laird, thanks for that nice letter you sent. I just read it the other day.
Oh, okay. Good afternoon. I've said on this show that I think that this is the worst administration in my lifetime. I'm 60 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And why, I guess, is my basic question. Why? I mean, Reagan had death squads. Kennedy and Johnson both arguably lied about getting us into a war. Nixon and Agnew were impeached. Why is this administration so much worse?
Marjorie, you want to tackle that?
Well, that's a good question, Laird. Because everything they do is illegal, almost everything they do, it's not just one war of aggression that's killing thousands of people and making us less safe and turning our economy into a bankrupt economy, but it's also spying on Americans, an end run, a clear end run in defiance of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Bush is the first president who's done that. The war crimes that are taking place in Iraq, Haditha massacre, targeting of civilians, the use of poisonous weapons, cluster bombs, depleted uranium, white phosphorus gas that burns to the bone. The U.S. attorneys scandal, which, you know, these are the top prosecutors in the country, and the Supreme Court has said that the job of a prosecutor is to see that justice is done, not to politicize justice. And yet there's a pretty clear record emerging that those people who either did not file frivolous lawsuits or refused to file lawsuits that would further the Bush agenda were fired, were purged. The signing statements have certainly been used by prior presidents, but never to this extent. Bush has attached the Constitution gives Congress the right to enact laws. And once both houses of Congress pass a law, then the president has two alternatives. He can sign it or he can veto it. What Bush does is he's only vetoed three bills. Two of them were stem cell research bills.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the other one was the one that would set a timetable to get out of Iraq. Bush, for the most part, does not veto bills. He signs them and then he attaches these signing statements to more than 1,000 different laws saying he is not going to follow them. This takes lawbreaking to a new level. There are just the torture I don't remember. I know that the CIA has engaged in torture over the years, but not to this extent. The Abu Ghraib pictures were just the tip of the iceberg. All over Iraq, in Afghanistan, in secret CIA prisons around the world, which is another thing that Bush is doing, holding prisoners in secret black sites and torturing them. The list goes on and on. Pardoning Libby, that's another example. Pardoning Libby, and of course people say, well, the president can do whatever he wants, he can grant clemency, the Constitution gives him that power. But in commuting Scooter Libby's 30-month prison sentence, what Bush did was to signal his complicity in the very obstruction of justice of which Libby was convicted. You know, Cheney and Karl Rove had initiated the smear campaign to discredit Ambassador Joseph Wilson and his wife, Valerie Plame, after Wilson publicly debunked the centerpiece of the administration's lies about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And during his trial, Libby was going to present a strong defense. He had subpoenaed Cheney and other top Bush officials,
yep,
because he was saying he was the fall guy. He was the scapegoat for his superiors. But ultimately, Libby backed down and presented almost no defense. And the only logical explanation is that Bush promised Libby he would never see the inside of a prison cell. The quid pro quo was that Libby keeps his mouth shut about Cheney's and Rove's involvement in the conspiracy, and with the commutation, Bush made good on his promise. Now, some right-wingers are saying, well, why didn't Bush just pardon Libby completely and wipe his record clean? But that was also very calculated, because if Libby were pardoned, he would be precluded from taking the Fifth. In other words, taking the Fifth Amendment, if he was subpoenaed in any future criminal or congressional proceeding, or even the civil lawsuit that Joseph Wilson and Valerie Plame have brought. And this calculated commutation preserves Libby's appeal rights and therefore his Fourth Amendment claim. It's a continuation of the cover-up. And you would see, when you look at my book, especially the chapter on summary execution and willful killings, the Haditha massacre, which is just the tip of the iceberg, not only were rules of engagement set at the top of the chain of command, all the way up the chain of command to the commander-in-chief, that established free-fire zones, in other words, shoot at anything you want, and that led to the killing of many, many, many civilians and executions in cold blood. But then the military covered it up in case after case after case, the same way they're covering up the way that Pat Tillman died.
Yeah. Laird, that was a great question, and you got quite an answer there, but you still need
a good reunion.
Okay, thank you very much, Laird, and you still need to read the book. There's more in there.
Thank you.
Didn't get it all, but you got quite a bit there. Now, Marjorie, you got about a minute and a half till our break. Let's talk here, because you have a whole chapter about summary execution and willful killing, and this is one of the things that I think really sets your book apart, because I haven't seen this thread in other places. You quote Bush in his 03 State of the Union message. All told, more than 3,000 suspected terrorists have been arrested in many countries. Many others have met a different fate. And he kind of gave his Texas swagger and smirk there. Let's put it this way. They're no longer a problem to the United States and our friends and allies. And as you point out, the implication is that we just snuff these people, and that's a violation of American law, is it not?
It is. I mean, these are targeted or political assassinations. Sometimes they're called summary execution or extrajudicial execution. And they're illegal. They are absolutely illegal under the Geneva Conventions. They're considered to be grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions and therefore war crimes under the U.S. War Crimes Act. President Ford issued an executive order outlawing assassinations, and every succeeding president has reaffirmed that order. That is, until the Bush administration. Bush signed a secret order in December of 2001 revoking this policy. And in fact, there have been a couple of instances that we know of in November of 2002 where there was an unmanned CIA surveillance aircraft that killed six men in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently there were a couple of killings, really executions of people. They called them suspected al-Qaeda, but it turns out, of course, there were civilians and even women and children. In Somalia, and the press barely noticed it. It was a blip on the radar screen.
Well, and just yesterday we interviewed Chris Hedges. He has a powerful new article in the next edition of The Nation. You could read it now at thenation.com, identifying a ton of atrocities committed by American troops without any investigation or accountability. We've got to take a break. We'll return for another segment with Marjorie Cohn. The new book is Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And it appears we have a little traffic to tell you about now. Santa Clara eastbound 237 Great America Parkway, large plastic bill flag blocking the right lane. Monterey northbound 1 at Munras, injury crash, 4 to 5 cars. It looks like it's been cleared out of the lanes, but traffic still backed up and slow from Carmel Valley Road at this point. Watsonville Highway 1 at Strub, we have a crash on the right shoulder, a car in a motorhome. And Santa Cruz County Highway 1 at Daimyo Lane, 3 to 4 car crash, right shoulder, minor injuries being reported. Monterey, southbound 1 before 68, crash on the shoulder. The two vehicles will be involved in that one. And Santa Cruz, southbound 17 after Highway 1, a car in the center divide, a big rig on the right shoulder.
On the Peter B. Collins Show, Professor Marjorie Cohn is our guest, and the NSA is listening.
Hello, NSA, I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you,
because you
really listen.
Oh yeah.
Now when I'm on the phone, well, I never feel alone, 'cause you're out there with your headphones.
Hello.
And you really listen.
Cowboy Republic is the new book from Marjorie Cohn, C-O-H-N, and it's got blurbs from some of our favorite people. Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights, Dan Ellsberg, Philip Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies, David Swanson from After Downing Street and the impeachment effort, and Dar Jamail, one of our favorite correspondents covering Iraq and the Middle East. And as we mentioned, it's out in softcover from Polypoint Press, and a great read. I hope you will pick it up. Marjorie, about the NSA spying, one of the things that stuns me is that there's so little opposition from Democrats, and even Senator Feinstein of California has tried to find ways to paper over the intentional lawbreaking of the administration by spying on Americans.
That's true. I mean, this is one more example of the way Congress has been cowed by the Bush administration. They have been masterful at keeping Congress terrorized, even though the Washington Post admitted that this spying program is revealing almost nothing pertinent to terrorism. And yet the Inspector General in the Department of Justice concluded that the FBI had been violating the Patriot Act and even spying on people who they shouldn't be spying on, even apart from this so-called terrorist surveillance program that Bush is using.
We got a report yesterday from Lou Cook covering the Padilla trial in Miami, and the testimony reveals that in order to get 7 intercepted wiretapped calls in which Jose Padilla is heard grunting and saying, "I don't want to talk about it," and, you know, really, you know, not too useful things like that, they had to intercept 300,000 calls.
That's astounding.
That just gives us one snapshot of what they're doing.
Yes, and I mean, they're invariably going to intercept the lion's share of the calls they're intercepting are personal calls, are calls that they have no business intercepting. And this is even apart from the fact that their program is illegal. It violates the Fourth Amendment. It violates the Fourth Amendment.
Wait. Marjorie, I heard them say that it's legal, it's limited, and it's protecting Americans.
Well, you know, I wish that we could believe what came out of the White House and what our leaders are saying, but unfortunately, they have just told so many lies. There's been so much misrepresentation, beginning with the reasons for going into Iraq and the cooking of intelligence, and the denial of the torture, and the spying program just became public because someone leaked it to the New York Times. I mean, and think about all of the things that have not become public. I mean, we have no idea what they're doing. When Alberto Gonzalez was testifying in front of the Senate committee on this spying program, he refused to answer whether there were other such programs, whether they were reading our mail. It's just use your imagination, because the caller before started to ask his question, and it reminded me of why this administration has really taken this arrogation of executive power to a new level. And it's because Dick Cheney, yeah, who goes way back in time
to the Nixon Ford White House.
That's,
yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. He thought that the president got a really bum deal after Watergate and Vietnam when Congress started to demand some accountability from the executive. And so Cheney's mission has been to fortify the executive and raise the executive above all of the other branches. I mean, keep in mind.
Marjorie, let me stop you there to sneak in a quick call. Daniel in Santa Cruz, go ahead.
Yeah, Marjorie, thank you so much for writing this book, and it's just what we need, and I applaud your courage. I'm going to get a copy of the book, and thank you once again. That's what our country needs.
All right, Daniel, thank you. And on that note, Marjorie, I need to move along, but it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You're our free counsel here at the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll be calling on you again soon.
My pleasure, Peter. Thanks
all right, I enjoyed it, too. Read the book Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. Coming up next, Jason Leopold in his weekly visit. He's the investigative reporter from truthout.org, and he's going to reveal a new scandal in the military, anti-Semitic behavior, some of it perpetrated by Christian chaplains. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Produced by Katrina Rill, Brian Urban is taking your calls today at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them to see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. The average life expectancy for a baby born in the United States today is 77 years and 5 months. Some don't live that long, others live well beyond. Women still live longer than men do on the average, but that is evening out more and more as American women face the same opportunities and pressures that men do. But the longer you live, as the saying goes, the longer you live. One of our fastest growing age groups today is 100 plus. JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, has published results of a 40-year study of men starting in their middle-aged years and the factors that keep them going into their mid-80s and beyond. The story after this. I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where you'll find breathtaking natural wonders that leave even a seasoned traveler like me speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king, bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. That place is Ireland. That's right, in Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK. For your free Ireland vacation planner.
Everyone's racing to participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships during Pit Stop Savings Day. Right now, make a pit stop to buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires, and you'll get a $50 gas card on us. Get our team of experts on your side. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Good job, guys.
Call 1-877-310-3673 for details or see participating dealer before 9:30 a.m.
The secret of staying alive is not dying. And investigators at Pacific Research Institute in Honolulu have come up with 9 measurable risk factors.
About 60% of men made it to their mid-80s if they avoided all 9 of these risk factors.
Clinician investigator Dr. Bradley Wilcox. And what are these factors?
Smoking, overweight, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, high triglycerides, which is a form of cholesterol.
Drinking in moderation is okay, says Dr. Wilcox.
If you had more than 3 drinks a day, that was a risk factor.
The higher the score on these 9 factors, the younger you're likely to die.
If you had 6 plus on the risk score, 6 or more of these risk factors, you had a less than 10% chance of making it to your 80s in good health.
It's a useful tool for doctors, says Dr. Wilcox.
It's nice to be able to identify particular risk factors that you can tell your patients that, look, if you pay attention to these, you can increase the odds that you'll make it into your 80s or even your 90s.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
The God of Hellfire, and I bring you...
If you're not a Christian, watch out. And if you're a non-Christian serving in the military, oh, the wrath of God and hell fire can be cast upon you. Talk about one-hit wonders. I love that song when it came out about 1968. The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. And I bought a couple of albums of his in the 70s, and they sucked. But I can't resist that song, especially when we're talking about religious extremism and kind of religious Christian fascism in the military. Jason Leopold returns per usual today. He writes for truthout.org and has penned the personal memoir called News Junkie. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Are you an Arthur Brown fan?
I actually am, and I was, you know, I have a bunch of albums. Actually, some of the ones that from the 70s that... that you said suck. there's some good grooves on some of them.
Exactly. I found, you know, like one of them was a rock opera type thing.
Right.
And most of it was awful, and there were, you know, two or three tracks that you said, oh, wow, that's special.
Yeah. And it was some of which have popped up on, you know, a sample, some rap artists have sampled.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I hope they pay some royalties to Arthur,
because
I imagine he's living in a trailer park somewhere.
You'd think.
Listening for his song to come up on the radio and
never hearing it.
Well, on a more serious note, Jason, you posted an article today that is another example of rampant evangelicals in the military, and they are not content to, you know, spread the gospel that they believe in and try to serve the religious needs of those who already believe, but they're operating in a way that is hateful, unchristian, and illegal.
Yeah, you know, again, this is one of those stories that. You know, that came to my attention based on the fact that the rabbi Goldman, who volunteered as a chaplain, actually read another story in which there was these there were these Bible study postings. We spoke about that maybe a month or so ago.
Yeah, at Fort Leavenworth.
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, he got in touch with me. He got in touch with Mikey Weinstein, who heads the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and. You know, told us a story, and again, it's one of those issues, or specifically with his story, it's so unbelievable. I mean, you don't want to believe it, and I was immediately skeptical until, once again, you know, you start digging. He sent over some documents, spoke to a member of parliament in his home base in Canada. Who intervened on his behalf, and it's just unbelievable that you know, the one thing that was explosive that took place was there were these you know, one of his supervisors, a chaplain, a Christian chaplain, thought it would be funny to, you know, hang these Nazi uniforms on the Holocaust Memorial Day, which is Yom HaShoah, is what they call it.
Really?
Yeah. And I just could not believe that that actually took place.
So this is, I'm reading, Captain Robert Ney, no relation to Bob Ney, it's N-A-Y.
Right.
Christian chaplain at the Fort Stewart Army Base hung Nazi uniforms and swastikas on the wall of the Officers Club at Hunter Army Airfield, Savannah, Georgia, May 23rd, 2001, during an interfaith prayer breakfast?
Right. And it was, you know, what's amazing is that other people witnessed this and didn't really do anything. You know, there. And to me, you know, what I take away from this is that this is probably, you know, has been going on in the military for a long, long time, way before, you know, I ever jumped on the issue. I just think now with the fact that we've got so many more people in the military, that the military is, you know, we're involved in these wars, and we're paying, you know, the media to some extent is paying a closer attention to what's taking place in the military, where, you know, the stories of armored vehicles or the lack of armored vehicles are, you know, getting into the mainstream, that we're paying closer attention to it. But clearly there's a problem there. And, you know, Rabbi Goldman is a young fellow. He's about 35 years old, and felt like volunteering. He had just received his just completed his rabbinical studies, and this is immediately what he was faced with. And, you know, and I think that the fact that it happens, it warrants, you know, disclosure, if you will. Even though this happened in 2001 and through 2002, he's actually, you know, on the run right now. They called him a deserter. And it just makes you wonder what is actually going on in the military and, you know, how bad it's actually getting at this point.
All right, let's try to get this in sequence. So it was in May of 2001, this interfaith prayer breakfast, and they put Nazi uniforms and swastikas on the wall.
Right.
And then Rabbi Goldman says he complained about the anti-Semitic tirades of this guy Ney,
right,
to his supervisor, Major Larry Sharp.
Right.
Goldman then says that in a sworn statement that Sharp told him that he needed to get along with people who hate Jews.
Right. And the funny thing is I've heard that before from, you know, various chaplains, but it wasn't until I actually called the rabbi who the rabbi who actually sponsored Goldman to talk to him about this, and he said, you know, yeah, it does happen. I've told him myself, just take a few steps back, you know, don't pay any attention to it, ignore it. Make believe this is not happening. This type of anti-Semitism is what this other rabbi was saying. So, in a sense, he's turned a blind eye to it. And he complained. They did an investigation. They just, you know, he wanted, Rabbi Goldman wanted to be reassigned, you mm-hmm. know, or transferred to another, to another base.
And so they made him report to this guy Ney, who had been needling him and committing these anti-Semitic acts and delivering
right.
these kinds of statements.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, this never got to a level where there should have been a thorough investigation. I mean, clearly, and I was provided with numerous documents which are clearly authentic and absolutely show that, you know, this did take place, but it was swept under the rug.
So then Goldman gets assigned to special duty in Afghanistan. Is that right?
That's what they're alleging,
mm-hmm.
And that's what they're alleging in terms of the reason that they called him a deserter.
Mm-hmm.
He's claiming that he resigned legally from the Army. That's the one area where I think that he may be a bit naive about. I don't believe you can just simply say, you know, I'm handing in my resignation. Now, he was a Canadian citizen. He was in the Army base on a green card sponsorship. You know, so perhaps the rules are a bit different there. However, the document that, you know, that I have show that Major Sharp actually accepted his resignation. What happened was is that when he went back to Canada, apparently was overturned in the State Department. I believe it's the State Department. I have it in the story as deputy.
It says here, the Army declined, and, let me read this here. Goldman returned to Toronto in January of 2002, but because the Army was terribly short of Jewish chaplains, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army Review Boards in Washington overturned his resignation and demanded he return to service at Fort Stewart.
Goldman agreed, but only on the condition that he be reassigned.
Right.
The Army declined that, and Goldman refused to return. So they have a standoff, it appears.
Exactly. They have a standoff, and, you know, the letter that was sent back, well, what happened after that is that, you know, he enlisted the help of a member of Parliament in Canada to intervene on his behalf. This individual sent a letter to Donald Rumsfeld trying to, you know, basically settle this this major disagreement, and the Army's Criminal Division sent a letter back saying that you know, this is he's got to face a court martial, come here and, you know, come to the U.S. and basically, you know, be arrested. Now the problem is that his green card has since expired, so if he came back here, it would, you know, there's a chance that he would, you know, he could very well get arrested and wind up in Guantanamo because he would be here illegally, and, you know, it's there's a number of things that are problematic with it.
Well, couldn't we give him a little amnesty?
Sure. Yeah, I guess he'd have to get a work visa or something. But yeah, I mean, this is just another, you know, example of you know, once you start digging into this, these issues that are just, it's like a cancer in the military, and it's just getting worse. And it's, like I said, I think it's something that has clearly been festering for a very, very long time.
Jason Leopold with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And for our military service members who listen in the Monterey, Salinas area, if you have encountered this kind of offensive behavior driven by religion and targeting those who happen to be non-Christians, or maybe there are other parameters that you've encountered, I invite you to call and share your story with us. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Jason, this is, I think, about the third story that you've published about these kinds of illegal and tasteless religious activities inside the military.
Right.
I would imagine that every time you publish a story like this, you get tons of email from people with similar stories.
Yeah, there's, well, you know, here's what's interesting. I definitely have received emails from and correspondence from active duty soldiers, former soldiers, you know, a wide variety of military officials, if you want to call them, that that said that they experienced, you know, similar or they've seen, you know, a similar behavior by their, you know, superior officers or chaplains. But then you also get, you know, the folks in the military who basically, in my opinion, lend credibility to these allegations because they come back with such, you know, they're so hateful in their response, and, you know, more or less, whether it's black, white, Muslim, you know, start getting a bit racist and anti-Semitic in those very emails. Now, I don't know if they're actually in the military, but I would say that, you know, those types of responses lend credibility to the fact that this is actually happening.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that, you know, despite all the evidence, the military still goes out of its way. I mean, it just makes you wonder, how much are they covering up? Not just with this, but we've seen this with, you know, what our soldiers on the ground in Iraq have to deal with, you know, lack of body armor. You know, the military is as if it's its own little, you know, government, which in a sense it is, and just everything is covered up.
Hey, come on, don't blame the Pentagon for the body armor thing. That was John Kerry's fault.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
We're going to take a break and return
that
with
guy.
Jason Leopold. 888-5-PETER-B if you have a story to tell us. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening.
Hi, Hi, Sheila Gale here with 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Addiction and Recovery Talk, Saturdays 4 to 5, now expanding to Wednesday evenings 7 to 8, taking shame and blame out of addiction. We take responsibility and treat it as the disease that it is. Great guests and great call-ins. Addictions, 12-Step Talk, it's about time. Now twice a week, Wednesday evening 7 to 8 and Saturdays 4 to 5. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers, building healthy lives in Monterey County. Sun Street for recovery and prevention.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Let's take a look at traffic real quick, and we have a problem right now. It is located, this is in Santa Clara County, eastbound 237 Great America Parkway, a rather large object blocking lanes there. And also want to mention the fact Santa Cruz, southbound 17 after Highway 1, car into the center divide, and a big rig on the shoulder, maybe glass and debris in the roadway as well. Monterey, southbound 1 before 68 on the right shoulder, two vehicle crash there.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I just got word from Washington that Harry Reid has installed espresso machines in the Senate chambers. And a large tractor trailer with Red Bull on the side was seen leaving the loading dock just a few minutes ago. They're going to go at it all night long and call the bluff of the Republicans on the filibuster threat. At least that's the plan. Jason Leopold with us from truthout.org. Can you name that tune?
I could name the Elvis tune earlier.
But they didn't hear that. That was in the break.
That was in the break. I can't. Dump me.
It's the Bauhaus boy, Peter Murphy.
Oh, very nice. It's solo. Solo work.
Yeah, all night long. I love it. And it is kind of interesting. We'll have to see if the Republicans, you know, make good on the offer from Harry Reid. And actually do take up the opportunity to filibuster. It'll be interesting to see. It's a kind of...
I think they're absolutely going to take that opportunity. And, the Republicans, once again, just their reaction to this is, quote, political theater. That's what they call it. They call this political theater. I think that Harry Reid, should be commended for, forcing the issue and forcing them to actually... publicly speak out about this, about what their position is.
And when they call it political theater, it's from the Tom DeLay playbook. What we're doing is what we point a finger at the other side and say, look at what they're doing.
Right, right, exactly. And that is political theater, in my opinion. I think that, it's abundantly clear that, the White House has no intention of doing anything to change the course in Iraq. And, you know, come September, when Patriots is supposed to give his report, it's going to be really difficult to accept it as what it is. I mean, you know, these top military officials are certainly the White House seems to be able to intimidate them to, you know, put their own positions in.
Well, come on, this is the fourth guy in 5 years,
right?
And they kind of get the message that if you don't tell Bush what he wants to hear, they'll find somebody else to
do it. Exactly. They're expendable.
And it's this charade, you know, that Bush actually listens to the generals. He listens to the ones who tell him what he wants to hear.
Yeah. Listen, I believe that there have been a number of different generals over the years who have said that we either, the one that would immediately pop up is Eric Shinseki, I believe.
Shinseki.
Shinseki, uh-huh. Thank you. His name is, who says, we need more troops out there. And he was rebuffed and then, kicked out.
Yep.
I don't believe that, the White House has any intention to, change course, no matter what the generals say. And I think that the Republicans who continue to back, the administration are going to be unseated.
Jason Leopold with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and Billy joins us from Capitola. Hello, Billy.
Hey, boys. You know, they want to put even more troops out there. So I'm just wondering, is this the same army that like, if a guy like me went in, they'd tell me after they got rid of me that I had a personality disorder before I came?
They'd probably be able to detect that in advance in your case, Billy.
But they take me is my point, and then when they found out for sure how bad I was, they throw. They're really doing this, you know.
Yeah.
Personality disorder thing. It's disgusting.
Oh, one report that we heard is that some 20,000 returning veterans have had their benefits either denied or downgraded on the basis of this personality disorder analysis.
It's criminal and it's fraud.
Indeed.
It shouldn't be hard to sign people up because, you know, it's the same army that does that thing, what is it called, stop loss,
right,
where you think you're coming home and then they don't let you.
Yeah.
You know, you lose your marriage, that one. Or, you know, perhaps no armor, no problem. Why wouldn't I join this army?
Jason, get a word in, edgewise or otherwise.
It's true. You could be in there for 10 years once you try to use your benefits. The army, in my opinion, is they went to the Blue Cross School of Insurance or taken a line out of their playbook and just simply not paying and coming up with a reason for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And bottom line, if somebody goes to Iraq and when they come back, if they don't want to go back, if I don't want to be there, what do you tell me I have to be there for? There's enough people who, are willing to, they're so patriotic, even if it's a raw deal, they'll do it. And to force somebody who knows what it is to continue, and you know what? Mikey Weinstein's right. Huh? He's not crazy.
No, he's not.
No.
He's dead on, and he's doing a lot of great work. And frankly, I have been surprised at the depth of this religious fanaticism that has filtered into our military.
Don't be surprised. It's the thing that is destroying this country. These people think that this is their country, and they are nationalists the same way the Islamists are.
Well, and you heard just the other day, we played the clip from the Senate prayer that was offered by a Hindu, and these Christo-fascists were there rudely interrupting him and offering up some sort of a prayer, essentially demonizing this guy and elevating themselves to some sort of heavenly stature.
It's really something that needs to be pushed out there in the mainstream as much as possible.
All right, Billy, thank you very much. Dave's got a comment. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
In every way that they can, this criminal administration is out to benefit their very rich little cult. They're now taking deductions out of our Social Security. They're looking for every way they can to take money from the poor and give it to the rich. No, they won't.
Now, wait, Dave. You're saying that your Social Security check has like a deduction for NSA monitoring of your emails?
I don't think that's they don't show it as that.
Yeah.
But they're taking it, and they've just sent notifications that there'll be more taken.
So what have they, percentage-wise or dollar-wise, what are they deducting that they didn't used to?
I don't know. I got a couple hundred dollars. Among them is the Medicare, 93-something a month, and...
All you know is the bottom line is less.
Yes, and we've just received a packet notifying us that this more of this will be happening.
Yeah, your rights have been canceled. Your checks will be less. Welcome to Bush's.
The very rich and greedy need ever so much more, and you've got way too much.
All right, Dave, thank you. Appreciate the comment. Jason, thank you very much. Brad Friedman will be here next week.
Excellent. Good choice.
I'll be back sometime. I promise.
Have a great vacation.
All right, Jason. Thank you very much. Melanie Sloan will join us next from Crew in Washington, and we'll hear from...
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It looks very bad in Sao Paulo, where a Brazilian airliner skidded off a runway, slammed into a gas station, and burst into flames. The Airbus 320 had as many as 170 people on board. One local report says there are 8 survivors.
The fire has not gone out, and there's been a small explosion just recently, and the blazes continue very strong.
Reporter Paula Gobi says weather may have been a factor.
It has been raining for many hours today in Sao Paulo Airport, so some analysts say that probably the plane, when it tried to land at 6:45 at the Congonhas Airport, it skidded. And skidded for 1,400 meters from the airport and crossed its main avenue and hit a building across the street.
That runway has been criticized for poor drainage, and a Brazilian judge recently ruled it's too short for some of the biggest planes to land safely. It's a real old-fashioned filibuster in the Senate tonight. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
With cots brought in for sleepy senators, along with pillows and extra toothbrushes, the Senate debate on Iraq will go all night, says Senate Leader Harry Reid, because Republicans are using a filibuster to block a vote he wants on pulling out the troops.
Will the all-night session change any votes? I hope so, because it will focus attention on the obstructionism of the Republicans.
But it is an axiom of the modern Senate that it takes 60 votes to pass any controversial measure, and all-nighters or not, Reid does not have those votes. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The latest assessment of the terror threat came out today.
I'm Dan Revive. The National Intelligence Estimate, which tells President Bush that al-Qaeda has gained strength, restarts a debate. Democrats such as Rand Beers of the National Security Network say the Iraq War weakened the hunt for Osama bin Laden, and
we find ourselves in a much worse situation with respect to al-Qaeda while having accomplished little or nothing in Iraq.
But the White House says U.S. troops in their surge this year are preventing al-Qaeda from setting up a safe haven in Iraq.
Joint Chiefs Chairman Peter Pace, who's visiting Iraq, told reporters there's a sea change in areas where al-Qaeda has been pushed out, and now he said it's a matter of helping the Iraqi army and local police get their feet on the ground. The violent end to the life of pro wrestler Chris Benoit might not have been a case of roid rage after all. Last month, Benoit killed his wife and young son in their Georgia home before hanging himself. Dr. Chris Sperry, the state's chief medical examiner, says Benoit had 10 times the normal level of testosterone in his system.
An elevation of that ratio does not translate to something abnormal in a person's thought processes or behavior.
He found no trace of any other anabolic steroids, but Benoit had taken the anti-anxiety drug Xanax and the painkiller hydrocodone. On Wall Street, It came close. The Dow Industrials up 20 points to close at 13,971. The Nasdaq up nearly 15 points today. This is CBS News.
There are two essentials for any summer getaway: a good sunscreen and a good set of tires. So visit your Goodyear retailer now and get up to a $50 cash card by mail-in offer with the purchase of a set of four select Goodyear tires. Or double your cash card up to $100 when purchased on your Goodyear credit card. Goodyear, get there. Offer valid 6/24 through 7/21/07. Go to GoodyearTires.com or see your participating Goodyear retailer for your mail-in form and complete details. Certain restrictions apply. Goodyear credit card purchase is subject to credit approval.
Welcome to the Cheapness Hall of Fame. On my left, you'll see a bronze replica of Rachel Mahoney's legendary coupon collection.
Who's this?
That's a statue of our newest inductee, Jeff Baxter. He just saved $75 on a trip to Vegas at CheapTickets.com. People, wait, you can book after the tour.
Book your trip to Vegas and save $75. CheapTickets.com. The less you pay, the better it feels. Save $75 on qualifying 4 plus 9 vacations. Book by 7:30/07. Dollar for travel 7/9 through 9/15/07. Subject to availability. See site for terms and conditions.
A 7-year study involving more than 3,000 women challenges the notion that cutting fat and loading up on fruits and vegetables can help prevent a recurrence of breast cancer. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has more.
Joy Schumacher survived breast cancer and never wants to face it again.
I'm looking for that miracle, that help that's going to get me going farther.
So was University of California researcher John Pierce when he added fruits, vegetables, and fiber to a diet that may help prevent recurrence. No matter.
This major increase in vegetables and fruit and decrease in energy from fat did not prevent additional breast cancers.
The conclusion of this study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, 5 fruits and veggies a day does it. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Starting tomorrow, the Army says it will be training soldiers to recognize the symptoms of post-traumatic stress and to seek help when they need it, but the Pentagon acknowledges it doesn't have the resources to treat everyone. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I can't think of many things that last a lifetime. True love? Maybe. A special memory? Perhaps. A house paint? Absolutely. If it's Duration Exterior from Sherwin-Williams. Not as romantic as true love, maybe, but way more practical. Because Duration Exterior protects in one coat and is guaranteed for as long as you own your home. Buy it now at your Sherwin-Williams store and save $8 a gallon. Duration. A paint that lasts a lifetime? Now that's true love.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Let us now examine the case of Senator David Vitter, who said, yeah, he was on the D.C. Madams list and he committed sins in the past. Apparently he stained when he should have abstained. Ah, but the stories about the hookers in New Orleans, that's all hooey.
Oh, baby, looking at you tonight. There's something I'd like to do tonight. And I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely, so abstain with me, baby, all night long. Come over and refrain with me, baby, all night long.
So Washington can be a lonely town, and I really don't fault a guy like David Vitter for calling a woman for comfort.
Dump that Jones.
The hard part is that he's a hypocrite. And he has spoken on behalf of family values. He's the guy who replaced Bob Livingston in the Congress after Livingston had to resign when his sexual exploits were exposed. And it's the holier-than-thou thing that I think has caused so much attention for the disclosures over the past week. For comment, we turn to Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And Melanie, what's your take on the Vitter confession and the way he is kind of on a limited hangout saying, well, yeah, some things happen in Washington, but the diaper stuff in New Orleans, that's not true.
Well, you know, Peter, mistakes were made. Now, they're clear who made them, but mistakes were clearly made here. And this may be one of my favorite stories in Washington, because these are always the very best. It's when someone gets hung by their own petard. David Vitter is someone who, during the Clinton impeachment hearing, said that Clinton should resign because he was not morally fit to lead. Well, if David Vitter really believed that, David Vitter would, of course, be resigning, too. But perhaps we will now all have the benefit of no longer having to hear David Vitter opine about moral values and family values in the future. That would be one upside of the whole scandal.
Well, and back during the Clinton impeachment phase, didn't his wife, Wendy, publicly talk about a Lorena Bobbitt response, if that ever happened to her?
That's right. It was pretty terrific. She said she would be more Lorena Bobbitt than Hillary Clinton, so no standing by her man. She would be, she said she would be getting away with something and it wouldn't be alimony.
Oh.
And yet, despite that, Mrs. Vitter was not yet schooled in the ways of Washington, but by yesterday she had been, and they had a very brief press conference where she stood by her husband, of course holding hands, and did the very routine, oh, well, our family needs privacy in this very difficult time, and it's you, the media's fault that all of this is happening, and we're, of course, praying about it all, and that's all we have to say, and she's very proud to be Wendy Vitter.
Well, and this is between them and God, and we're not allowed to ask no more questions.
That's right. And how many times have we heard this speech? The only thing that surprised me was that David Vitter didn't also claim that he was some kind of sex addict and now in rehab.
Yeah. He didn't pull a Foley, a full Foley.
A full Foley. But, you know, remember Bob Ney said it was the alcohol that made him do it. And David Vitter hasn't told us about his alcoholism either. But, the you know, when you started, you talked about, well, Washington's a lonely place. Interestingly, that comment comes from one of the other most strident conservatives, James DeMint. Jim DeMint is from South Carolina and a raging moral conservative, and it kind of makes you wonder what's going on in Jim DeMint's closet.
Yeah, he made some kind of oblique remark that it could be any of us.
Could be any of us, which is, of course, though, why you're hearing so few members of Congress say anything about David Vitter, because that's true.
Well, and Larry Flint, who is a complex guy, but I give him credit. He is a hawk on the First Amendment, and he also has been fighting against hypocrisy. And he's willing to toss his money around to get people to fess up or leak about some of these cases. And it appears that Flint has his sights on other members of Congress.
I hope so, and I hope he exposes all of them. You know, anyone who's sitting there preaching to the rest of us about their moral values, their family values, and how all of the rest of us are behaving in some immoral and unethical way because we're not living exactly the way David Vitter says we should, which is not the way David Vitter's actually living his life, just saying so, you know, those people really deserve the fall. And that's, I think, why this story has such a life. If it was a member of Congress who was not out there constantly opining on everyone else's morals, it wouldn't be so interesting to the media, but it is exactly the hypocrisy that gets them every time. It's just like Mark Foley writing to teenage pages while being the head of the Exploited Children Caucus.
Yeah. And we've heard no comment from Newt Gingrich?
No comment from Newt Gingrich, who was, of course, as you know, having an affair with a staffer while criticizing Clinton for having an affair with a staffer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's fair. do we think there's going to be any, I mean, it's hard to know how many other people are on Palfrey's list, And, you know, at some point there may be some sex fatigue on the part of the public about these disclosures.
Oh, I don't think so. Do you really think there's ever sex fatigue?
Oh, I'm
not
sorry.
Not in the American public. And the only thing better than a regular sex scandal is a gay sex scandal involving children, which is why Mark Foley stayed on the front pages for so long. But I think if there are other senators, other members of Congress on Ms. Palfrey's list, we will certainly hear about it. If Larry Flint comes up with anything else interesting, we'll hear about it. And then we'll hear about it for days and days and days because nobody gets tired of a sex scandal. Think about it. It's, in the end, much more interesting than talking about health insurance.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Melanie Sloan with us from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And, Melanie, it's not like I'm stalking you on television, but I did catch your most recent appearance on Hardball, and that had to be a disappointment to you because you got ladybirded.
Yes, well, that was a little bit of a surprise, but luckily I had read Master of the Senate and read these Lyndon Johnson biographies, so I knew something about Lady Bird. But literally right before I walked onto the set to be with, to talk to Chris Matthews about the Scooter Libby clemency hearing that had taken place in the House Judiciary Committee that day, literally the minute before they said Lady Bird Johnson died, so now we're going to have to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. And where did they get Paul Laxalt's daughter, and why was she there?
She's a, quote, Republican consultant. And so they just needed some Republican to say that poor Scooter Libby didn't deserve all this. And so they were just trying to find someone new, I guess, who hadn't said that before.
Victoria Tonsing wasn't in circulation?
Well, there are some people that I would not appear with.
Oh, okay.
He would be one of those people. Not that, that was the choice. I was told that this is who it would be. But we always make sure and check on who it will be because there are limits.
Yes, indeed. Melanie Sloan with us. Now, tell us what's going on in Minnesota. You have a new situation that you have up on the website today, a complaint that you filed with the FEC against the Minnesota Republican Party.
This is a pretty terrific story, really, because it comes from inside the Minnesota Republican Party. Somebody inside the party wrote a complaint to someone else in the party saying there were multiple and egregious violations of the Federal Election Commission Act, Campaign Act, and including that they had not declared over $100,000 in debts, that people hadn't been paid, and it was a whole memo going through all of the problems with the Republican Party's finances in Minnesota, and many of which were illegal. So we read about that in the Minneapolis St. Paul Star Tribune, and we wrote a complaint and filed a complaint. And the funny thing about that is now people in the Republican Party in Minnesota is saying that somehow I did this for Al Franken, who is running for Senate in Minnesota again as a Democrat against Norm Coleman, a Republican.
Right, and you used to appear on his radio show. That's a conspiracy right there.
Well, that's exactly it. They say because I appeared on Al Franken's radio show, I'm now a flunky of Al Franken's, and that's why we did it. Now, maybe it's just me, but I don't actually see how filing a complaint against the Minnesota Republican Party helps Al Franken in his race against Norm Coleman. It has nothing to do with Norm Coleman, and it's not as if voters in Minnesota say, well, I don't like what that Republican Party's been doing. I don't think I'm going to vote for Norm Coleman anymore.
Yeah, but Republican talking points don't have to relate to anything.
They don't have to relate to reality, and that is certainly true. And that's the case here. And, when we talk about what we did, we based it entirely on what one Republican operative wrote in a confidential memo that got released to the Minneapolis paper.
And that guy used to write jokes for Al Franken, see?
See? There you go. So, you know, but give it, it's the FEC, and they're a pretty toothless agency, so maybe in a year we'll hear about something that they've done. But I really think the Republican Party in Minnesota can't get away with this, and it is going to be some bad news for them. They're going to end up with some substantial fine at some point in the future because you can't just not declare all your debts so it makes you look like you're that much richer than you really are to try and scare off everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And, Melanie, I'm looking at your Zippy website. People should check it out, Citizens for Ethics, citizensforethics.org. And I can't pass this one up. Representative Doolittle's campaign in debt owes $76,000 to his wife.
You know, isn't that just terrific? John Doolittle has said, remember, that he is not going to pay Julie Doolittle a commission anymore for acting as his fundraiser. But what he hasn't said is he still owes her all this money from the last election cycle. So he still owes Julie Doolittle $76,000. And interestingly enough, she couldn't even, now that it's been declared as a debt, it's not like she could forgive it because then that would be a gift to his campaign.
But isn't, under California's community property laws, isn't a debt to her a debt to him?
Except that it's technically technically a debt to Sierra Dominion Financial, which is her corporation, and that probably gets into more complicated corporate law than I can manage. But the bigger problem, of course, was that Julie Doolittle was taking in 15% of every dollar that she that John Doolittle fundraised, so that the Doolittles were living off that money. The one nice thing that I'm sure you'll be happy to hear, knowing how closely you follow the Doolittle saga, is that John Doolittle has paid a huge amount of money in legal fees this year, and he is doing so poorly with campaign fundraising that it is encouraging Republican challengers to come out. And I think John Doolittle and Rick Renzi, Rick Renzi's from Arizona, also he had his house searched, I think, the same time that John Doolittle's was. They're both going to be not long for this Congress.
Well, Doolittle's so desperate, he called me and asked if I would co-sign on a payday loan.
Well, that would be desperate, and this is all good news for the Democratic challenger, but also there are several Republicans who are thinking of throwing their hats into the ring, as I understand it, including one conservative radio host.
Oh, really? Well, I'll have to check that out. Well, Melanie, thank you for your time today. I want to just to refer people also to the website for the detailed study called Crossing the Line about the Bush administration's efforts to expand its power. It's a great report on the Crew website. Thank you, Melanie.
Thanks, Peter. Talk to you next week.
Well, no, I'll be on vacation next week, so I'll talk to you in August sometime.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm running away. See you later. We're going to take a break and return for your phone calls here in the Free Speed Zone. You got a question, a comment, something you got to get off your chest? Well, call me now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if it all works out technically, Brad Friedman, who's going to start sitting in for me tomorrow, will join us in the next 15 minutes or so, and we're going to talk with him while we conduct heavy technical tests. So call me, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
All right, folks, time to check traffic. Let's take a look at the latest. Big problem working, major problem right now, Los Altos Hills, northbound 280 before Alpine. Solo vehicle overturned on the roadway, and then actually started a grass fire on the hillside. They've got like six fire units on scene right now. Looks like the two right lanes are still blocked. They may still only have the right lane blocked at this point, but as of our last report, we had the two right lanes blocked, and the traffic extremely slow. From Woodside Road. They say they're going to have everything reopened by about 6:15 or so there. Looking at Salinas northbound 101 before Main Street, there is a rather large garbage can, and it is blocking the two left lanes. Also want to talk a little bit about Los Gatos, Highway 17, southbound just after 85. Crash right shoulder, three vehicles involved in this accident. And the support brought to you by PG&E, the people of Pacific Gas and Electric, working hard to provide the tools you need to manage your business.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 23 after the hour, and we're launching into the free speed zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules? Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We pay for the call toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Anybody know Italian? And you know the phrase for give me your money, please? Hand over your euros. Well, I'm leaving for vacation tomorrow, and let me run down a few things for you. First of all, I'm going to Italy, where my far-flung family is gathering for a reunion. I have a brother who's lived in England for over 20 years, and so we hold our reunions in different locations. And my mom, who is the matriarch and 83 years young, is hosting us, and it's going to be a great time. I'm really looking forward to it. The downside is, though, the Bush has wrecked the dollar. And last time I was in Europe, the euro was worth less than a dollar. I think it was 90 cents, something like that. And now you have to pay $1.37 for a single euro. And that means that everything costs a lot, and I am preparing to be hammered financially on this trip. So I'll come back probably broke, but having some great stories to tell. We'll be in the part of Italy called Umbria. That's a state that is south of Tuscany, north of Rome. And I've been there once before. Assisi is one of the towns nearby, and I'm really looking forward to it. So I will leave you in good hands. Brad Friedman, who is, if it all works out here technically, going to join us in about 10 minutes. He'll be sitting in tomorrow through the end of next week. And then starting on July the 30th and through August 10th, Christine Kraft will be substituting for me. And she is a great talk show host from Sacramento, also well known to KGO listeners from the San Francisco area. And she'll be plugged in. And at all times, the Peter B. Collins toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B, will be working. So you don't have to memorize a new number. You'll just have to get used to a couple of different hosts. And I hope you'll give them both a very warm welcome in my absence. Steve joins us from Watsonville. Hey, Steve, you're on the air. Hey,
Bernie, excuse me. Peter.
Yeah, I'm Peter.
You know, Chris got Bernie to... Bernie Ward to change his registration from Democrat to decline to state after that after Nancy Pelosi waffled on us.
Oh yeah, good.
Chris will be a good set.
Oh yeah, she's terrific.
Anyway, I wanted to question, like you're commenting that right wing talk radio is 90% of basically airtime.
Yeah, pretty much.
It seems to me that conservative print media is 95 to 98% of what you can get, in print these days. The Nation and the People's Daily World, that was standing, most print media is consistently conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to have to do with the nature of the beast.
Well, I'm not sure that it's 95% conservative in print. Certainly daily newspapers have moved to the right.
Rod Nation.
Uh-huh. Well, and also if you look at the circulation of various publications, I haven't looked recently, but Rupert Murdoch subsidizes the Weekly Standard, which is, you know, a major conservative organ. And I believe it has circulation of about 500,000. The Nation is at about 150,000, somewhere in there. Mother Jones is about 100,000. The Progressive is about 100,000. So the part of it is that the corporate subsidies behind right-wing publications are greater than any subsidies that come to lefties. And, Steve, I'm getting hella static on your line. I'm sorry.
Hear you. It looks like what was the guy's name in the low white van?
That's Benny. Yeah, Benny at the NSA. Sorry, Steve, but thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. So we're going to take a break here and return. We'll plug into Houston, Texas, where Brad Friedman is standing by, and he'll be joining us for the rest of the program today. So give us a call. We need a couple of callers so we can test out the phone lines, but also it's your opportunity to talk with Brad and get warmed up for his he's going to cover for me while I'm on vacation. I don't know what we call it. A stint. His stint here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. And I'm your humble host, vacation-bound Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-488 for carry out to die for.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know, it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. I need a couple of volunteer callers right now, 888-5-PETER-B. Brad Friedman's going to join us live from Houston.
I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
As you've heard, your humble host is escaping the country. It's partly due to Bush, but yeah, mainly because I got a vacation and a family reunion in Italy. It's going to be great. I leave tomorrow, right at about the start of showtime. And his Bradness has graciously agreed to cover the program for the 3 days remaining in this week and all of next week. And he joins us now from Houston, Texas, and the studios of Pacifica Radio. Hey, Brad.
A week and a half you're going?
No, I'm gone longer than that. You're doing a week and a half.
Oh, I'm doing a week and a half?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said a cover for you for an hour and a half, Peter. I'm not going to be able to do a week and a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you should have let me know beforehand.
Well, have your people talk to my people, and we'll throw even more cash at it.
Oh, okay, even more. Well, in that case, we can make anything happen. Yes, coming to you live from Houston, KPFT Pacifica Studio down here in Houston, Texas. Another broadcasting miracle for you, Peter.
And it's working nicely. I want to
sound
thank
okay on
Steve
that
and Odie for the technical connection. It's working very well. We'll test the phones here in just a second. But, Brad, first of all, Houston has been the scene of heavy storms and flash flooding over the past few weeks. And when I talked to you earlier today, you said the skies were opening up.
They had. It was crazy. It was like a Noah type storm. We had to build an ark to make it here to the studio, but so far so good. The skies have cleared, and actually Pokey Anderson, Pokey, don't you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She's standing next to me. You know, she works out of KPFT down here, and she's laughing at us.
Yo, Pokey.
Yeah, he says hello, Pokey.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
She's
yeah.
drunk, by the way.
Really?
She is. You wouldn't believe what they do down here at Pacifica.
What, do you have a happy hour?
Oh, man. At this time of day, well, because, you know, it's later out here.
Right, yeah.
So they're drunk. Pokey is, anyway. What did that have to do with the rain outside?
The skies opened up.
The skies opened. It was crazy. But now it's beautiful, and I expect we have nothing but easy sailing for the next week and a half, at least, while you're gone, my friend.
Great. Well, I'm delighted. And, Brad, tell us a little bit about your summer travels. You went to Atlanta, and then you were in St. Louis, and now you're in Houston, and you do all that without the benefit of airlines.
That's right. Well, we like to take the Bradmobile, as you well know.
Yeah. Is it amphibious?
It is. We'll see how the rest of the week goes here in Houston. It may need to be. Did you guys have, Pokey, 10 days of rain in a row, you said? And how long has it stopped for a couple of days until we got here?
Yeah, we had...
Don't lean into the microphone. Yeah, this is radio.
Yeah, we had rain here every day for 10 days, and we were already up to, like, you know, a whole month's worth of rain in a few days. But we were lucky because, you know, Central Texas, they had serious flooding.
Yeah.
So nothing down here?
We didn't have that, no.
All right. Well, yet.
Yeah.
But we will be here to cover it when Houston floats away. In your absence, Peter, we will be here to cover it. Yeah, so we've been going all around the country. Down to Atlanta, we spoke at the Carter Center, cleansed that place from the Baker-Carter Commission that had ruined it a few years ago. I went up to, where was that? Nashville, right? We sat in on an amazing an election commission meeting, and I've been having some interesting emails with one of the Republicans on that commission ever since. Maybe I'll share it this week.
All right.
Then we were up to St. Louis. Now we're back down here to Houston. Lord knows when the hell we'll get back to Los Angeles. But we're having a good time.
Well, good. Let's pick up a call here, and this gives us an opportunity to tweak the equipment. Chris is on the line from Salinas, one of our election protection activists.
Hey.
Hello, Chris.
How you doing?
Good.
Hope you're going to have a fun time there, Peter.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
I had a question for Brad. Was there a resolution to the ESNS not giving out their source code to Deborah Bowen from the escrow account?
I'll answer that in a second, but I got to tell you, whoever Brian has to pot up that caller, because I'm having a real hard time hearing him out there.
Okay, that's very good to know that, and let me try this.
Chris, we're using you as a... a guinea pig.
No, Chris, go ahead.
That's why I called.
Is that better, Brad?
No, it's not.
It didn't change it?
No.
Okay. Now, how about this? Go ahead, Chris.
Are you there?
Yeah, I can barely hear you way in the background.
All right.
Chris, you might lean out the window and shout, and I might be able to... Go ahead, Chris.
I was calling about the ESNS source code.
Now,
Bowen wanted.
Now, is that better, Brent?
I'm sorry. My head just fell onto the floor. Yes, that was better.
Okay, I found the problem. It's this one, Brian.
Yes, you did.
It's the pan pot.
My right. head just exploded.
So what Chris is asking about is the Deborah Bowen demand and part of her top-to-bottom review for the source code from ESNS. And, Chris, I can actually answer that because we spoke with the Secretary of State a couple of days after they had resolved it. And she had placed an order with a kind of escrow company that was holding the code. And before that order was carried out, ESNS decided to complete its obligations, which included sending a check to the Secretary of State to help conduct the procto and coughing up the source code. So that did get resolved.
Okay, great.
Well, actually, no, it didn't get resolved.
All right, so there's more to the story. Please correct me.
Okay, I think it did, but I wasn't sure about it.
No, well, because we still have version differences between what the ESNS sent in and what is supposedly in the source code. And that's where the problem is. We don't know what they have in escrow if it actually is the source code that the company has given them. So we've got serious questions about that, and it's brought on serious questions now about the other companies. Is the source code that they gave to the Secretary of State, is that the same as what is in escrow?
Mm-hmm.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, I followed you.
So we really don't. Right now, we're not sure, and not sure how we police exactly what is in escrow, and it has raised these huge questions right now about how to. All of these federal laws, the Holt bill and these state laws around the country are going to this idea that we can escrow the source code. But it's brought up this question of, well, how the hell do you know what is actually in escrow?
Mm-hmm.
It's a serious concern.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Also, Brad, just on the reporting front, I had a very interesting interview at the start of today's show with Congressman Maurice Hinchey of New York State. And we were primarily talking about his proposal to reimpose some form of the fairness doctrine to try to rebalance talk radio and perhaps other media in this country. And so at the very end, I peppered him with a couple of questions, one about impeachment, and he passed that one with flying colors. He's an aggressive advocate for impeachment.
Is he signed on to Kucinich's bill?
I believe he has.
Okay.
And then I asked him about the Holt bill. And we didn't have much time, but he was quite explicit that he doesn't support it in its current form and that he has great concerns about it and that he's working with Holt and his staff to try to modify it before it goes to the floor.
Really? That's interesting. Well, actually, Des, see if you can go over to that Holt page, bradblog.com, because I think Hinchy may be listed as a co-sponsor on that bill, if memory serves here.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's yet another one saying that he's not supporting it. But, you know, all of these co-sponsors don't support the bills. What's going on here?
Well, and you have a post that John Gideon put up at Bradblog about kind of expanded commentary from Dennis Kucinich. As we discussed on the program when he was with us about 10 days ago, he has pulled himself off of H.R. 811 as a co-sponsor, and he's now written a letter to Speaker Pelosi,
yep,
notifying of her of that and asking for changes in the bill before it hits the floor.
And by the way, Desi is just checking the internets here, and it turns out, yeah, in fact, Maurice Hinchy is listed as a co-sponsor. This is actually incredible. And by the way, kudos to you, Peter, because you've gotten a lot of Pokey, you got a thought?
Well, yeah, I talked to Kucinich's office, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about his taking himself off of the Holt bill, and they seemed rather annoyed that Thomas was still listing him on there, and they said, well, we don't know how to get off.
You know what? I don't think they have. I think Thomas, that's the Library of Congress's website of all of the legislation and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have a procedure in place for how to take people off a bill, you know, once they're signed up as a co-sponsor. I don't think they're used to removing people as co-sponsors.
Well, maybe they'd better learn.
I think they better. And you've got, you've made some news there. We're going to try to get that out to Bradblog, Peter, that
all
Maurice
right.
Hinchy does not support the bill. Yet another co-sponsor. And at last I checked, it had something like 216 listed. But mm-hmm. I guess we're just going to. Are you sure you have to leave the country, Peter? Because we could use you going through 216 of them.
Yeah, wouldn't that be
getting
nice?
Getting them on record.
Well, you do raise an interesting point about, you know, people who co-sponsor a bill and then it wobbles out of control from mm-hmm. where they supported it. And then they have tough choices about whether to publicly express their dissatisfaction and objections or whether to try to do it behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps of those 216, there are more than we know who are resisting the current form of the Holt bill.
Well, that's exactly right, and this entire bill has been, you know, I've argued it's a hoax. They, you know, they claim that there's all of these people who would not ban DRE touchscreen machines, but they won't tell us who. Now we find one person after another who's signed on as a co-sponsor who actually doesn't support it, and I think we can break a little bit of news here in that Rush Holt was at a town hall meeting over the weekend, where I understand the direct quote is he said about his own bill, quote, the vendors have won.
Mm-hmm.
And this has to do with the source code that was going to be open for full disclosure when the bill was introduced, but then it went into committee, it came out, and what do you know, the Microsofts, the Diebolds, the ES&S, these voting machine companies, somehow removed the disclosure from the bill. So now the question is, I guess for Mr. Holt, is he going to withdraw as a co-sponsor of the Holt bill?
I'm sorry, that's not possible.
You don't think so? Are you sure?
No, I'm not.
I'm just getting started, Peter. I got a week and a half of this. We've got to get to work on Holt. By the time you get back, I'm getting Holt off his own bill.
He may even change his name by the time you get done. Brad.
You're right. Yeah. It may be, who knows whose bill it's going
to
be.
Well, Brad, I want you to use the armadillo rule there in Texas. If you're going to kill it, you got to kill it dead.
Wow. All right. Well, I think we can do that. We're going to work on that. And by the way, did you tell everyone the huge, huge guest that we've booked for your show while you're gone?
No, because I don't know. I've been so busy just getting myself ready and all that stuff that I have not focused on that.
Oh, it's an enormous guest.
Break it now. Break it.
Oh, no. They've got to tune in to find out sometime over the next 8 days when I'll be hosting your show. To hear this enormous guest we'll be having on your show.
Enormous.
Yeah. Mm. Enormous.
Okay. I think I can guess. Do you want guesses or should we just keep
radio
silence?
You can guess, but I won't. Yeah, we'll have to keep radio silence. They'll have to tune in from 3 p.m. to. What time are we on out there, by the way?
3 to 6 Pacific time.
3 to 6 Pacific. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's very confusing because you know I'm in Houston.
Now, did El Gigante recently appear on CNN and lecture Wolf Blitzer?
I have no comment at this time, Peter.
All right, we're going to take a break and return. I need another caller or two to test our phone system here for Brad. You can just do a shout-out, call and say hi, or maybe have a question. The Feinstein bill is moving forward in committee. It's more of a wreck than the Holt bill. And if you have a question or comment on that, why don't you call us now? Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a vibe of galusia. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
That sounds pretty good. Okay, let's start off with a little bit of traffic. Manifique. Let's see how manifique it is, actually, to be honest with you. We need to start off with a big problem in Los Altos Hills, northbound 280 before Alpine. It did a solo vehicle crash. What happened was the vehicle flipped over and then started a pretty sizable grass fire on the hillside. Good news, the fire is out. And about 6 fire units on scene can, handling the situation. But I can also tell you that traffic, the right lane shut down. In fact, it's going to be shut down until about 6:30 or so. Traffic slow from Woodside Road if you're traveling in that area. Santa Salinas, northbound 1 before Main Street, still got a report of a garbage can there. You know, it's blocking the lane, but it's not too big of a deal. Monterey, northbound 1 at 68, two-car crash, center divide, Watsonville. Green Valley Road at Amnesty, with an injury crash, motorcycle and a car. This report brought to you by Luxor Las Vegas.
Yeah, this one's a little different. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. A powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman. Yeah, Brad, we went to great expense to get you your own intros.
Oh, that was very nice. That guy, you must have paid him a lot of money to do that.
He owed me.
Does that mean there'll be no humble host this week while you're gone?
No, the guy with an ego as big as the Hindenburg.
Hindenburg ego. You got that right.
Our music of the moment is called Texas.
been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me.
This is called Texas, Pokey. You ever heard this song?
No, but it's not the first song I haven't heard.
Someone's gonna get killed out there, and I turn to her and say, Texas.
All right, that's enough of that. Now let's go to the phones here, and we'll do a final tweak of the system. We've got Don in Eureka on line one. Hello, Don.
Hello, Peter B. and Brad. I just wanted to know.
Now, Don, hold on. We're gonna get to your question in just a moment. But you're actually a foil for us, so that we can conduct technical tweaking here.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want you to welcome to the program, Katrina. Oh, I just hung up on Don.
No, you did not.
I hung up on Don.
Oh.
Hey, Don, call us back. My able producer, Katrina Rill, has agreed to be a foil, too. Now, Brad, can you hear Katrina okay?
I heard Katrina just fine. I heard Don just fine until you rudely hung up on
him. Yeah, well, I mashed that button too fast.
And now we have to see if we can get two callers at the same time, if that works. Right.
So,
yeah. Hi, Brad.
Hey, is that Katrina Rill?
Yes, it's Katrina.
Hey, Katrina, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Do we have a good show booked for tomorrow?
I think we have a great show booked for tomorrow, and I'm really looking forward to working with you and Desi.
I am looking forward to working with you, as we are looking forward to working with you as well.
And do you guys want to tease us, or are you just going to tell us it's a great show and people have to tune in to find out?
Yeah, well, then they would know that we don't really have any plans for tomorrow, Peter.
I think you want to tell them about your first guest tomorrow, don't you think?
Actually, I do indeed. Larry Johnson is going to be with us, a former spook.
Larry C. Johnson, I believe.
Oh, thank you. You're right. Mm-hmm. Larry C. Johnson, a former CIA analyst. School chum of Valerie Plame's. He's going to talk about the National Intelligence Estimate that just came out today from a unique perspective that only he can bring to this thing, or at least a unique perspective that I can't bring, somebody who actually understands these intelligence estimates. So we're going to talk to him about that. We're certainly going to talk to him about his old pal, Valerie Plame. I'm sure Larry is very, very happy about the commutation of Scooter Libby.
Yeah, I'll bet.
He won't have any opinions on that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking to him about that. We're going to have every day, as far as we can help it, an election integrity hour at the end of each show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bring on a lot of election integrity folks from around the country. And we've got somebody, Katrina, who we have in the middle hour, do you remember?
In the middle hour, we have, we're going to reconnect with Larissa at Raw Story.
Yes, our old friend Larissa Alexandrovna is supposed to be here tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah, she sometimes goes on assignment, so be prepared for that.
Yes, I know. and some
Tom Kerbet is going to revisit us.
Is Tom with us tomorrow?
Yes, he's scheduled for 5 o'clock.
And one of the things that we're going to do, aside from certainly the election integrity beat, is we're going to try over the next week and a half or so to continue, Peter, what you have done. You know, what we say at Brad Blog all the time is we exhort people to be the media. Well, now we're going to be the broadcast media for the next week or so. And in the bargain, hopefully we'll bring on a lot of bloggers and some voices that folks may not hear from a lot, but that they should hear from and sort of help elevate. As you have done with a lot of folks, a lot of these voices that really don't, who are doing important work, but really don't get their voices out to enough people. And so where we can, because let's face it, Peter, you and I and Pokey cannot be the media alone. We need more and more. We need to take back the media. So we're going to
help grow
the army in your stead.
Especially when I flake out and leave the country for 3 weeks.
Yeah, nice going.
Hey, Don is back on line one. Don, you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. And now just a quick test. Brad, you can hear everybody.
I can hear Don just fine.
All right. And Katrina, can you hear Don?
I can hear everybody just fine, too. Hi, Don.
Okay. Hi, Katrina.
And that was me who hung up on you, Don. I just have 8 thumbs.
I hear that. It's okay. We forgive you. You do so much good.
Okay, thanks. So why don't you get to your point before we run out of time, Don, because you didn't call just to be our technical guinea pig.
That's correct. But just an aside, when you come back, if you haven't seen Brother, Son, Sister, Moon, I recommend that film. It's a 70s film for St. Francis of Assisi.
Oh, okay. I have not seen that, so I will. Oh, and I just almost hung up on Don.
Yeah, you almost hung up on me again.
Well, I was dropping Katrina, because you, Katrina.
You're not going to be engineering this show while you're gone, are you?
I'm leaving. In fact, I already have left. Can you tell?
All right. Well, my question is, I talked to you a week ago, and it was in regards to Cindy Sheehan. And I want to know if there's any difference in yours and Brad's stand in terms of Cindy running if Pelosi doesn't retract her no impeachment stance.
All right, Brad and I haven't discussed this. Brad, I took the position that while I agree with Cindy on ending the war and I agree on impeachment, that I think that her threat to challenge Nancy Pelosi in the upcoming election is one that Pelosi knows to be an empty one. She won with 84% of the vote last time. And that it it creates some problems by opening up a fissure on the left that can be exploited by those on the right. So my considered opinion is that it's not so wise for Cindy to make this move.
Well, we may talk about that this week. We're actually trying to get Cindy for the show this Friday. We can bring some of that up. I don't know. She's planning a run as an independent, is what I understand.
Right.
And she could bring the Republicans so much as they still have them in San Francisco.
There are four.
And some of the folks who are unhappy with Pelosi. I don't know. She could cause actually some actual havoc out there, unless I'm miscalculating. You know the area better than I do.
Well, and, you know, I've disclosed this before. I worked as a consultant on a Pelosi campaign 10 years ago, and she does have a very solid base that would be very difficult to defeat her. And my point is that we want the same thing. I want impeachment, and I want Pelosi to revisit her position. And frankly, I think pushing her into a corner is not the most effective way to do that.
It may not be, but I'm glad to know that you're a Pelosi hack, and we can talk about you behind your back while you're gone, and we'll get the skinny on all of that while you're away.
Hey, Don, thanks a lot. Hey, Brad, thank you very much for sitting in for me. Have a great time.
It'll be my pleasure. Have a great trip, my friend.
All right, I'm riding off into the sunset. I'll see you on August 13th. Thank you for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's Ready?
That's right. Dinner's Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's Ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
You see the plane in flames. You see a cargo building in flames. The firefighters spraying water on the flames.
Reporter Paula Gobi in Sao Paulo, Brazil, where a passenger jet with as many as 176 people aboard caught fire after it skidded off a runway into a gas station. No firm word on casualties, just a report that 8 survivors have been taken to hospitals. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes tells us there is a history of problems there.
There have been concerns both about the length of the runway at that airport in Sao Paulo and also about the airport's drainage system, two things that could be of great concern when a jet lands on a rainy night like it is tonight in Sao Paulo.
A Brazilian judge recently banned 3 types of planes from landing on that runway, but the ban was overturned by an appeals court that said it would have severe economic ramifications. The U.S. Senate is settling in for an all-nighter debating whether to set a timetable for withdrawal from Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
Republicans say it's just a political gimmick, which of course it is, but Democrats don't have the votes to overcome a Republican filibuster to end the war, so all they can do is try to focus as much attention as they can on it to try to make Republicans pay a political price for sticking with the president. A handful of Republicans have joined them to support the proposal to pull most combat troops out of Iraq within 9 months, but it takes 60 votes to overcome this filibuster, and they're well short of that.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, which has mixed views about the Senate all-nighter.
It may be a healthy debate. It's also likely to be theatrical.
Spokesman Tony Snow sees it as something of a spectator event designed by Democrats to score political points. In his words, it might be kind of interesting, but let's all take it for the spectator event it is.
The Pentagon has been criticized for delays in providing the troops with the best armored vehicles. Now Defense Secretary Gates will ask Congress to shift more than $1 billion from other military programs to speed up delivery of MRAPs, mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicles. Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick and three others have been indicted on charges of running an illegal dogfight operation. It allegedly was based at Bad News Kennels on property Vick owns in Virginia. The federal indictment says they recently executed eight dogs they deemed not vicious enough. If convicted, Vick could face up to 6 years in prison.